Well, we're moving on up.
We're moving on up.
To the east side.
We're moving on up.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up.
We're moving on up.
To the east side.
We're moving on up.
We finally got a piece of the pie. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues, getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. We're ever moving on up,
we're moving on up
to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Yeah, I was trying to find you. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm looking okay. The number, you said the number so fast, I had to listen to the message three times to get the number.
Well, it's interesting that
it's cool, huh?
We're welcoming to the Earways here at PMP Network Sherman Hemsley, who actually has a record here of something that's never been done before. You are the only one to ever swear on the ear here and get it on the ear. Congratulations.
What did I say?
Well, actually, I can say it now because we're on internet now, so it doesn't matter. But and we edit it for radio. So you said shit on the air. And here's the interesting part. Dummy Mark here, your host today, put it on as a repeat another time and left the shit in by mistake. So I get in trouble with the owner twice.
So what happened? Did you get in trouble for it?
I got in trouble the first time. But not that bad, because it was really the producer that should have X'd it out, right? But the second time, I put the tape on without X'ing it out, so I get in trouble for that. And I deserve to be in trouble for that one. That was pretty dumb.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I didn't mind, Sherman. You know, it's okay. You know? Because, you know, all the characters you ever play are cantankerous, and it fits right in.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, welcome to the show again, Sherman. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine, thanks.
Good. For all the folks who have never met Sherman Hemsley before on the show or in person, you know, he's met so many people. We all know you and love you as George Jefferson, of course, from the Jeffersons, mm-hmm. but you've had a long career doing many, many things. And let's talk a little bit about growing up. I actually understand that when you were in Philadelphia, you actually worked as a postman.
Yeah. That was when I got out of the Air Force, that's what I did. Up to that point, when I was a young kid, I was trying to be in show business, like singing, you know, doo-wops and stuff like that.
But how did you end up in the post office from doing doo-wops?
Well, you know, that's the only job I could get when I got out of the Air Force. You know, I didn't finish high school, so I finished in the Air Force and took the GED.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And when I got out of the Air Force, you know, I remember going in there for the Christmas help, temporary help for Christmas, and for 2 weeks, and then... I took a test and I passed the test and I wound up going to the post office. It was a lucky thing, though, you know, that I could get a job that good.
Well, a lot of people love working there, but you know, being a clerk at a post office is a good, solid job in terms of you know, it's reliable and you can get a check.
It. Yeah. And my mother was proud of me. You know, she said because she had told me before I went in the Air Force, go in the Air Force to go to jail because that's where I was headed. So I went in the Air Force. And then, you know, luckily I did. I got myself my life straight by doing one in there. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get in the post office. And I was doing acting on the side while I was working at the post office. That was always my thing. That was sort of my hobby.
So acting was your hobby on the side, just to keep you sane from all the boredom of post office work?
No, I just loved it. I started in elementary school, you know, and doing plays in school. And I just liked it, getting out there in costumes and the lights and all that stuff. So I was just addicted to second grade, and so, when I got out of the Air Force, I just jumped back into it. You know.
When you were working the post office, you were also doing like off Broadway stuff and stuff, weren't you?
Well, in Philly, yeah. Well, yeah, when I went to New York, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then your debut was in what? Pearly.
Pearly on Broadway, yeah.
Yeah.
I had done a lot of stuff. I was in New York 2 years before I got on Broadway, but I did a lot of off Broadway stuff, you know, and. I was with the Negro Ensemble Company down in the village, which was great. And I felt so great being in New York, man. It's like, wow, no place like New York. I love the city.
Now, how did you end up getting the George Jefferson part?
Well, it was like I said, it was on Broadway, in Pearly, And I remember Norman Lear coming by to see the show on Saturday evening. Everybody was talking about this producer from LA was coming from Hollywood. And I mean, I didn't think he was going to notice me, but he did the show. And after the show, he gave us all Screen Test Me and Novella Nelson. And I think Levi, all of us, you know, he was just interested in us. He hadn't had anything going yet because All in the Family hadn't even started, but he was just making the rounds on Broadway. And like at the same time, Bonnie Franklin was there. She was doing Applause, I think. B. Arthur was in Maine. I think Maine had just closed or something. But, you know, he just sort of felt us all out, I guess.
So he was being like a major league scout looking for some guys for his next team.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And he used us all. It's just amazing.
So you were cast in All in the Family. Didn't you replace a brother, Henry Jefferson, that was supposed to be on there or something? Or?
Yeah, well, I came in the time that Mel Stewart played Henry. He was going out to do a show called On the Rocks, and he was leaving. So then everything happened so quick, man. Hmm. You know, it was just one of those things. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. I met Cole. Hey, we're trying to find you. Where are you? Give me your number. Can you come down tomorrow? Yeah, well, we're having so fast that I have a chance to get excited, you know.
I bet you he regrets doing that play, no matter what it was.
Yeah, it was On the Rocks. It was a sitcom, but it didn't last that long. It lasted about one series. I think it was about the Army.
Oh, really?
On the Rocks, a comedy about basic training or something like that.
I don't remember that, but all I know is that your job lasted you 12 years.
Yeah.
So you're on the All in the Family a couple of years, and the character George Jefferson was a great character. It must have been fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people. Oh, yeah. You know, it rubbed some people the wrong way, but I think most people really liked him. He was a spunky guy, and he was a successful guy, and he knew it.
Everybody knows George. Everybody has one in their family, it seems like.
That's true.
My father, just like you. My uncle, just like you. My brother, you know. And that reason for that is because I put the character together from friends of mine in Philly. The people I grew up with knew all my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm more through all my characters like that. You just put in little things that you know about from other people, like the walk. That's a Philly walk. Everybody walks like that, walking, because like Philly's like little neighborhoods. You walk through different neighborhoods. New York, the same thing. You know, Newark, all the East Coast, everybody walks that way. When you go through a strange neighborhood trying to look bad, you know.
Yeah, we get Boston walk, too.
Yeah, same thing, Boston. You know, everybody got that stroll when you're walking in a strange neighborhood.
So the Jefferson characters were so popular in All in the Family that Norman Lear said, hey, Sherman, you want to be spun off and do the Jeffersons?
Well, it was kind of like that. They didn't ask me. They just said they were going to do it. And I just said, yeah, I said, definitely. I wasn't going to argue the fact.
I mean, what, you know, it must have been incredibly exciting for you, but it also was a huge responsibility as well.
Well, yeah. You know, all I had to do was just go in there and remember my lines and do what I'm supposed to do. That's the only responsibility I had as an actor. That's all you have to do as an actor, just go in there and do it. Just do your lines.
Yeah, but you know something. When you're a supporting character on a show, it's one thing. When you're starring, you and Isabel, it was a big responsibility.
I know. You just get more lines. That's all.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But you know something though. I mean, if you decide to leave the show or whatever, and the show dies, then a lot of other people are out of work because of you too.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing. But see, I was just make sure I was there, did what I was supposed to do. To make it easier on the producers, and they can concentrate on other things rather than having to worry about me. It's just the way I've always worked.
Yeah.
That's just the way I was trained back in Philly. I was in a little theater company back in Philly. We didn't make a dime, but the director and the producer, they treated us like we were making millions of dollars. You know, you come in, if you were late, and he gave you 15 minutes late, he'd go home and leave us there, you know. So it's just discipline. And as an actor, you're on stage, you mind your business, you don't direct other people. And there's things that I learned that I use, you know, and it works for me.
Yeah,
I just can focus in on what I'm supposed to do, as opposed to worrying about everybody else. But they got other people that worry about everybody else, you know.
Marla Gibbs came on the show as a guest. Oh, not as a guest, but as a small role, and really dominated the show with some of her lines. She must have had a great time, and the little tension between you and her character was a nice little background on the show.
She came on. I remember the time. I think it was the second season. They had an audition for Maid. And she won out, and she got the part, Miss Florence.
Yeah, she was really funny as Florence. It was a great, mm-hmm. great role, and you, you know that show lasted 10 years. It's hard to believe that it was such a long lasting show, but it had a great cast too. I mean, some of the folks around you were excellent too, you know, from Roxy Roker and Paul Benedict, and all the folks that surrounded you, Isabel Sanford and Mike Evans.
Yeah, Paul, the man, Paul. I'm hoping to see him when I come up there.
What's that?
Paul Benedict.
Yeah.
He's from Boston.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, man. Oh yeah. In fact, he's probably up there now doing something. He's always doing theater.
Huh.
Between Boston and New York.
Well, talking about coming to Boston, we just got off the phone with Pat DeRita a few minutes ago. Pat Morita. And you are going to be playing Oscar Madison in The Odd Couple. Have you ever played in this play?
I played Felix before.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Ah.
This is the first time I'm playing Oscar.
I think Oscar's more fun to play myself.
Well, yeah. They're both fun.
Yeah.
Either one. Oscar, Felix, you have to be just a little laid back, I guess. Just a little feistier. I don't know what it is. It's just fun. You never know until you get into the character.
Yeah.
You know, the hardest part about acting is building the character. Once you get the character developed and everything, then it's easy from then. You got it. It's like writing a song or something, or a poem. Once you got it all down, and then you know it for the rest of your life. But it's getting there. It's a trip.
How
many times you've seen the play, you still can't do what you've seen somebody else do. You have to do your interpretation of the character.
That's true. You got to make it yours.
Yep.
That's right. Have you ever acted in Boston before in terms of theater?
Yeah, we did Pearly up there. In fact, we did Pearly just about every place. I'm trying to think of something else. I did a few things I did up in Boston. I can't remember. Yeah. I remember Pearly, definitely.
So you'll be at the Stoneham Theater, which is in Stoneham, Massachusetts, and that is from June 6th to June 29th, and tickets are available by calling 781-279-2200. And if you, I know people all over the country listen to the show, so if you're in New England and you're close enough to commute, you should definitely check and see it.
How far is Stoneham from Boston?
What's that?
Stoneham. How far is that from Boston?
It's about 20 minutes north.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's not that far. You can cut on Boston and enjoy yourself. Maybe get a Red Sox game while you're here.
Yeah.
Are you a baseball fan?
Well, you know, near the playoffs, of course.
So you're a few of the fan. Whoever makes the playoffs is your team, huh? That's funny.
I used to be a diehard Philly fan back when the Wiz kids were big in 1948, 52, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then I tried to play a little softball back, and half ball was big in Philly. You ever play half ball?
No, I never heard of that.
Half ball. You take a tennis ball or a pimple ball, you cut it in half, and you take a mop stick, and you stand on different sides of the street, and you pitch it half ball. That way you didn't break people's windows, you know? That was big for me.
Kind of like stick ball we played around here.
Yeah, same thing.
We used broomsticks.
Yeah, you cut it in half so you won't break the windows.
I'm actually losing my voice here. I have a flu, and
man.
I've just reached the end here. But gladly, I was really happy to be able to talk to you again.
Yeah, I'm glad your voice lasted at least through our conversation.
What's that?
I'm glad your voice lasted at least through our conversation.
Well, through most of it, yeah.
That's a drag.
Kind of died. Well, I just came back again. I got a little sip of water, but it is tough. I did three interviews today, and it's tough to do.
Bro. Oops, I go again.
But, Sherman, it was a pleasure talking to you again, and you didn't swear today. I'm kind of bummed. You want to just say something for me?
I had to get carried away.
But it's really great talking to you. I always enjoy it, and hopefully we'll talk again sometime.
Yeah, bro. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Take care, Sherman.
All right, you too, bro.
Bye-bye.